claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go. All suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char. And let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be Come As You Are.
Come As You Are indeed. We have here today a special treat at the break, because Joe Olson, this wonderful engineer who's been doing a brilliant job of exposing what happened down at the condo in Florida, will be joining us, and Joe will give us an update on his research. For those who see the video version of today's show, here's the original condo prior to its destruction. Since it was built in 1981 and Lyft's lab construction has a 40-year expected life, 2021 would be its due date. The idea that they're doing recertifications every 40 years is simply absurd and irresponsible. We have how the collapse occurred, starting from the bottom of the center, then the section behind the center collapsing next, then the section of the building, the east section. Finally, moments later, we have the pool deck, which some thought might have caved first, but even in the aftermath is still intact. We know there was improper waterproofing discovered before, but that does not appear to have made a contribution to the outcome. And even though there was cracking of concrete columns, beams, and walls in the parking lot under the garage, here we have the complete effect, devastation, what's going on here. And here you can see the pool is doing just fine and dandy. It really wasn't destroyed at all. Now, they've just brought down the rest of the condo in a classic controlled demolition. And I'll begin here when Joe joins us at the top of the hour, because there's a striking resemblance between this clear controlled demolition and what we actually saw. I have other thoughts about this, but I'm going to save them for that part of the show. So stand by. We're beginning update on the Florida condo developments. Well, I must say, here and now, I'm profoundly disturbed that we have an Israeli team coming to Florida. This is, in my opinion, completely inappropriate. Why should they be coming? since this appears now to have been a controlled demolition. Since this may now have been a controlled demolition, it may well be the team that they're bringing in is the very team that is not being flown in from Israel, but is right here in Florida. They may be in the position to not only cover up how it was done, but to plant DNA samples from, say, 150 missing residents who may now be alive and well and living in Tel Aviv. There's no end to the machinations, the deceit and deception that could be taking place here. And I'm very, very troubled, therefore, that this is taking place. In any case, we'll get Joe's expert update, where Joe Olson is certified in mechanical engineering, structural engineering, civil engineering, electrical engineering, a better guy to diagnose what's happening here. It's hard to imagine. Meanwhile, it turns out USB drives were suspiciously stolen, transferred, and inserted into voting systems used in the swing states in the 2020 election. Here's one report. Agents raid home in Maricopa County and voter data theft investigation. Confiscate 8 hard drives, 3 computers, and a bag of USB sticks. Here's another. In the Farm State Arena in Fulton County, Georgia, we identified numerous activities where USBs were transferred suspiciously between election personnel. Here's another. On October 1st, 2020, it was reported that an election laptop and memory sticks, USBs, were stolen in Pennsylvania. Here's another. We reported a missing flash drive in Milwaukee. At the same time, the city recorded 120,000 votes. Surprise, surprise, all for Joe Biden on the morning of November 4th. An IT expert has reached out to the Epoch Times, which is doing sensational reporting in my judgment, a few days after the election, shared information on the voting systems that had been used, where a high-level diagram of the Dominion system showed at various points at which USB sticks could be used to alter the outcome. The expert stated he kept thinking about the USB drives, immediately noticed this is where election data, that is to say forged or fake images, could be inserted or changed. When a number of USBs in a location go missing or lost, the proper response would be for the location or district where they went missing to replace them with similar credentials, but there is no indication it happened in the 2020 election. The whole scenario opens the door to manipulation of votes through the USBs before they were delivered to the location where they were to be counted. That appears to be how it was done. Meanwhile, several developments regarding our social media giants. Facebook is now sending messages to users asking about their potentially extremist friends. Get this. Facebook is inviting Americans to snitch on other Americans. Are you concerned that someone you know is becoming an extremist? One message reads, "We care about preventing extremism on Facebook. Others in your situation have received confidential support." Well, who are going to be the Facebook extremists? They're going to be conservatives, right-wingers, anyone who challenges the outcome of the 2020 election, anyone who's skeptical about the official scenario of the 6 January intrusion into the White House, anyone who voted for Donald Trump, anyone who thinks the First and the Second Amendment are good and desirable and ought to be enforced throughout the United States, I tell you, they're going to be on the Facebook list. They want to hear from you about your extremist friends who believe in the Constitution of the United States. A Facebook spokesman confirmed to the Epoch Times the company is running the warnings to test some users. This is part of our larger work to assess ways to provide resources and support to people on Facebook who may have engaged with or were exposed to extremist content. Extremist content. In other words, they had to fabricate a boogeyman they could use to go after Trump supporters who are predominantly but far from exclusively white. Indeed, I believe a whole lot of the nonsense that's going on today, to which I shall return with all these discriminatory policies, is to counteract the effects that Rasmussen was already reporting on December of 2019, that 40% of black likely voters were going to vote for Donald Trump. Conservatives, including former President Trump, have argued for the revocation of Section 230 of the Federal Communication Decency Act, which serves as a liability shield for online publishers. However, the moment to rein in big tech was dealt a blow earlier when a federal judge tossed an FTC lawsuit against Facebook that accused the firm of engaging in anti-competitive practices. This is a very serious matter because antitrust action is exactly what is needed against the social media giants and Google. These warning messages, however, are sure to trigger even more negative feedback against Facebook and its CEO Mark Zuckerberg, who, by the way, turns out to have paid a vast number of those who were involved in counting the ballots on November 3rd, Mark Zuckerberg, over fears that the company is attempting to stifle free speech. On Twitter, screenshots of worrying messages were being shared en masse on July 1st. Many users expressed concern over the direction Facebook is taking. Even The Simpsons are recording. We have a series of Homer, Hey Neighbor, you may have been exposed to harmful extremist content, right? Meanwhile, bills that supposedly go after big tech are being written by big tech. Surprise, surprise. Washington, D.C. is continuing its practice of allowing those who are supposed to be governing to write the laws being used to govern them. A whistleblower has recently revealed Microsoft may have been involved in developing antitrust legislation and will benefit from that involvement. Republican Representative Thomas Massey was given a document showing Microsoft had been given an advance copy of major antitrust legislation. It was an original version of the Platform Competition and Opportunity Act, one of Democrats' six pending antitrust bills targeting big tech, which is all very ironic because the Democrats have been in bed with big tech, that they're working hand in glove. Massey said during the Judiciary Committee markup, "I just came into possession of a document everyone needs to know about." He reiterated, "Come from a whistleblower," was marked confidential. Microsoft. It's the first draft of one of these bills that would have covered Microsoft, which begs the question, meaning invites the question, did Microsoft have this bill and other bills we're voting on today before I had this bill? And why would you have marked it confidential Microsoft if they'd found it on a website for Congress? This is pretty fascinating stuff. The latest version of the bill details platforms with at least 50 million monthly active users would be subject to antitrust regulations. But the original provision set that number at 500,000. So they've dropped it from 50 million, they've raised it from 50 million to from 500,000 to 50 million, which is going to exclude a whole lot of sites. Moreover, the changes in version except Microsoft services being affected by the proposed regulation. Here is the change. The original version defined an online platform as an operating system, but the latest version redefines it as a mobile operating system. Representative Zoe Lofgren said during the hearing Wednesday, the latest version limited the definition of online platform to only mobile online platforms. That had the effect of exempting Microsoft from most of its coverage. She challenged that the change specifically had the effect of excluding Microsoft Windows from being regulated and proposed an amendment to reverse the change. Jim Jordan, a ranking member of the Judiciary Committee, reinforced Massey's criticism. He said, the committee cannot overlook Microsoft and its censorship of conservatives. That's what we have here. Bills that supposedly go after big tech being written by big tech. The Democrats on the judiciary revealed their antitrust bills earlier this month. I think that was a preemptive strike in other words, getting ahead of what the Republicans had in mind, which would be far more severe and encompassing. The legislation, which has bipartisan support, could possibly allow prosecutors to break up big tech companies. David Cicilline, chairman of the Judiciary Subcommittee on Antitrust, said, large tech companies have too much power over the U.S. economy. The Platform Competition and Opportunity Act was sponsored by Democrat Representative Hakeem Jeffries. The intent of the bill to prohibit major big tech acquisitions from entrenching a company's market power. It remains to be seen if Microsoft will offer any further details about its involvement in the legislation. But this is a serious matter. The big tech has to be managed. They have to be regulated. They have to be relieved of their ability to censor. This is such a blatant violation of the First Amendment on the ground that this is supposed to be private companies. But remember, that section of the Communications Act was granted on the ground that they serve as the common grounds, as an opportunity for everyone to express their views, and thereby they'd be functioning like a library, making all the work available without being responsible for its individual contents, which is a responsibility of the authors and publishers of the books, or in this case, those who created and published the videos and the blogs. But that's not what they're doing. The censorship of conservative and right-wing voices and opinion has been massive and overwhelming. Meanwhile, irony of ironies, a judge has ordered Minneapolis to hire more police amid a crime surge. Gee, that's really surprising. Hennepin County District Judge Jamie Anderson issued a writ of mandamus, ordering the city to hire more police officers, specifically that Minneapolis should have at least 730 officers, or 0.0017 of the 2020 census population, whichever is higher, by the end of June 2022. An unprecedented number of officers quit or went on extended medical leave after Floyd's death and the unrest that followed, which including the burning of a police precinct, looting, rioting, arson. With new recruit classes, the city anticipates it'll have 674 officers available by the end of the year, with another 28 in the hiring process, which is still short of the 730 they need. Floyd allegedly died last year after having been restrained by former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin. We reported upon this many times. Let me reiterate. It appears to me this was all a Hollywood production, that they actually used an African-American torso airway training dummy. It was just from the chest up, lying on the ground with Chauvin's knee upon it, where he lost his hair in falling to the ground. He's suddenly no longer manacles, hands in front of his chest. When he's lifted up to be put on a stretcher, he has no legs. This was all totally fraudulent. So if you want to verify and judge for yourself whether you agree that I have it right or not, go to falseflagconspiracies2020.com, falseflagconspiracies2020.com. In the upper right-hand corner, you can access the archives. You will fill out personal information just so we know who's downloading the videos, and download as many as you like. But in particular, if you want to see my critique of of faking hate crimes, including those of Jussie Smollett and Bubba Wallace, as well as George Floyd. You want to download Deceit Galore, Deceit Galore. I think you'll find it really quite stunning. Amid calls to dismantle the police department, some residents have begged the city of Minneapolis to hire more officers. Minneapolis is in a crisis, the eight plaintiffs linked to the conservative Upper Midwest Law Center wrote in their lawsuit. In the decision, the judge wrote the eight plaintiffs, all Minneapolis residents, had been able to show that the lack of officers was linked to the surge of crime and had caused personal injury. This is a huge victory for the petitioners and all residents of Minneapolis, especially those in the most diverse neighborhoods, feeling the brunt of the rising crime rate. This was a very good thing. We had an event in Minneapolis I'm going to forgo. Meanwhile, I mentioned the Pennsylvania Supreme Court has thrown out Bill Cosby's conviction, ordering him to be released from prison. That may seem very, very strange, but it appears to be legally impeccable. Cosby, 83, have served more than two of a 3-year-to-10 sentence for his conviction on charges of drugging and sexually molesting Andrea Constantin in 2004. The case began in 2005 after Constantin went to then Montgomery District Attorney Bruce Castor with her allegations. Castor declined to file the charges, but reached an agreement with a comedian not to prosecute if he would sit for a deposition in a civil case filed against him. Years later, however, Castor's successors claimed they did not feel bound by his decision and decided to prosecute him, notwithstanding the prior undertaking. This is very analogous to Donald Trump deciding he would not be bound by Barack Obama's agreement with Iran with a joint comprehensive plan of action, which in my opinion is one of the worst blunders Donald Trump committed during his administration. I oppose it completely. Iran is a peace-loving nation. Even our own intel agencies had agreed in 2007 that Iran was not pursuing nuclear weapons, reaffirmed the agreement in 2011. Indeed, in 2012, even the Mossad came on board and declared Iran was not pursuing nuclear weapons, which just 3 weeks prior to Bibi Netanyahu going to the United Nations and asserting precisely the opposite. In my judgment, Trump should not have abandoned. I believe it was under pressure from Bibi that he did so. It was a mistake. And so far as I can see, while Biden's making gestures, he's not serious. I mean, he has this guy, a Secretary of State, who appears to me to be a dual Israeli, U.S.-Israeli citizen who's going to follow the Israeli agenda, just like the members of Congress who, remember, signed a pledge to put the interests of Israel ahead of those of the United States. I mean, it's outrageous, but that's the way it's played out, as Cynthia McKinney was the first to reveal. Prosecuted using parts of the testimony from the civil case against Cosby in the criminal case, which was wrong. Here's part of the court's decision. D.A. Castor further determined that a prosecution would be frustrated because there was no corroborating forensic evidence and because testimony from other potential claimants against Cosby likely was inadmissible, not that it did not exist, under governing laws of evidence. The collective weight led D.A. Castor to conclude that unless Cosby confessed, there was insufficient credible and admissible evidence upon which any charges against Ms. Cosby related to the Constant incident could be proven beyond a reasonable doubt. So he agreed that if Cosby, who subsequently provided 4 sworn depositions making incriminating statements in return for not actually being prosecuted. So I think there's no question about it. This was a gross violation of the legal agreement. And it was improper that he was in prison. Nevertheless, There are many, and I share the opinion, that find this morally outrageous, even if legally impeccable, where Cosby appears to have drugged and sexually violated as many as 50 women, possibly even more. Frankly, I can't imagine this, the attraction of having sex with an unconscious woman. As an adult male, I've always believed that sexual relations between adults should be consensual, a voluntary, matter of both parties desiring to participate. And it's never been clear to me, indeed completely opaque, why anyone would get off on having sex with an unconscious woman, unless perhaps they're a necrophile, or those are persons who actually like having sex with dead persons, because this appears to me to be a very close facsimile. In any case, it's very embarrassing the way this whole matter has played out. Meanwhile, the chief financial officer of the Trump Organization, Alan Weisselberg, has been indicted. Charges have been announced. I'm suspicious nothing is going to come of this. I think it's highly, highly unlikely. Charges against Weisselberg and the Trump Organization have been unsealed. He's the first individual to be charged in connection with a long-running criminal investigation by Manhattan District Attorney Cyrus Vance Jr., a Democrat, of course, now collaborating with New York Attorney General Letitia James, a Democrat, of course, to investigate Trump's business practices. Now, this guy was a key financial in the Trump Organization. He's been with Trump for 48 years. Those who have worked with the Donald are very loyal to the Donald, and I frankly doubt the Donald has done anything wrong. Donald Trump is far too sophisticated to allow himself to be, gamed on the basis of some trivial financial matters. Donald Trump has had excellent attorneys and accountants working for him throughout. And I have no doubt it's going to come to nothing. More when we return from the break.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? and that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, if the multiple absurdities being foisted off on the American people by the Biden-Harris administration, and it almost gags me to even say those words, perhaps the most blatantly unconstitutional have to do with giving preference in terms of governmental largesse, financial payments, loan forgiveness, and the like, to individuals based upon their race. We know Native Americans and Black Americans, African Americans, Latinos, and the like are all being given preferential treatment by the Biden-Harris agenda, which is just astonishing in the wake of all of the history of desegregation, anti-discrimination, affirmative action programs of the past, where, frankly, the whole idea of American society as systemically racist seems to me to be a manifest absurdity. Look at the prevalence of Black Americans in entertainment, in sports. I mean, the argument is overwhelming that they are among our most successful and accomplished citizens. When then we have the election of a Black man as president, not once but twice, by 60 to 65 million votes. How can a country be a racist country when it elects a Black man a president of the United States, not once but twice, by, you know, a staggering number of votes? I mean, it's just absurd. So they're going out of their way to foster it. They're using BLM and Antifa as their vanguard. We know actually they're a way of fundraising for the Democratic Party. And I believe much of this is really calculated to win back the Black support that they had lost to Donald Trump, which Rasmussen was reporting as early as December of 2019, to wit, based upon his polling, 40% of Black likely voters were going to support Donald Trump. And of course, for very good reasons, his economic policies, including shutting down the floor of migrants across the border, were having benefits for the lowest wage earners who were seeing their wages rise at the highest rate. It was benefiting Blacks and Latinos, and they were and profound appreciation. What has happened here is a complete reversal of the measures that Trump took that were so beneficial to Blacks and Latinos by opening the spigot at the border, flying mass numbers of migrants all over the country. There are many malevolent motives at work here, including changing the demographics of the United States. The Democrats hope permanently because they know they lost by a massive toll here in 2020. They know they lost massively. They have even acknowledged the whole idea of defunding the police was a terrible platform, completely idiotic. I mean, you would have thought even a nitwit could have perceived that defunding the police was a bad idea. Well, get this. Now, various of these race-based programs are being held to account. Here's a nice piece about it. Pesky 14th Amendment hinders Biden's plans to give tax dollars to Blacks for being Black, by Steve Sellier from the UNS Review, but which originally appeared, as I believe, in the Occidental Observer. From the New York Times, no part of President Biden's agenda has been as ambitious as his attempt to place concerns about equity squarely at the center of the federal government's decision-making. Since taking office 157 days ago, President Biden has promised to put racial equity at the center of everything he does, pledging in an executive order on day one to take a systematic approach to embedding fairness in decision-making as he drafts legislation, hires staff, proposes spending, and develops regulations. But his efforts, which could radically realign the distribution of federal money and benefits in favor of people of color in other underserved communities, are running into legal and political obstacles, as well they should. In late May, for example, Savata Ideri, the owner of Cocova Chocolatier in Madison, Wisconsin, where I reside, was told she'd received $50,000 from Biden's government, courtesy of the president's efforts to ensure pandemic relief aid for struggling restaurants and food businesses would be distributed equitably, meaning Blacks first. 3 weeks later, however, she received an email breaking the bad news. The award had been rescinded thanks to a lawsuit filed on behalf of white restaurant owners that successfully challenged a program policy of prioritizing applications from women and people of color. The check she was counting on would never arrive. It doesn't surprise me, says she, that once again these laws that we fought and died for that were intended to benefit us, to even the playing field a bit more, are being used against us, referring to the Constitution's Equal Protection Clause. Here, the author observes, sure, I mean, the 14th Amendment sounds like the part about the equal protection of the laws applies to everybody, but we all know that it's good for the government, the Biden government, the Democrat government, to discriminate against whites. No part of Mr. Biden's agenda has been as ambitious as his attempt to embrace racial considerations when making decisions. It pushes against limits set by the Supreme Court, which say programs based on race must be narrowly tailored to accomplish a compelling governmental interest. It ignites passions at a time Democrats hold the narrowest majority in Congress, and the country is already seething with disagreements about race, power, and fairness. We had a federal judge in Florida on Wednesday echoing a court ruling in Wisconsin by ordering a halt to an Agriculture Department program to forgive the debts of Blacks and other minority farmers after years of discrimination. The judge wrote that Congress must heed its obligation to do away with governmentally imposed discrimination based on race. I mean, it's just stunning to me. Anyone would think that you could racially discriminate against whites any more than you can racially discriminate against Blacks. On Capitol Hill, The $1.9 trillion relief package Biden has pushed through in March, known as the American Rescue Plan, included money for health care, child care, and poverty programs that disproportionately benefit minority groups, undeserved communities, and women. Just unbelievable. The challenges to Biden's proposals have so far halted only a small fraction of his broader equity agenda, which has already ensured that billions of dollars in spending would reach African Americans and poor women. Some of the president's programs, like the child tax credit, are less vulnerable to legal challenges because they're technically race neutral, even as they disproportionately benefit people of color. Here the author adds, okay, they just said some of Biden plans only commit disparate impact racial discrimination, while others are overtly discriminatory against whites. I know these days we're supposed to obsess over pronouns like he, she, and they, but in 2021, the only pronouns that really matter are who and whom. Administration officials say the court rulings and political opposition are merely speed bumps that will do little to block progress. They say Mr. Biden will continue to fight for parts of his legislative agenda that are not in a compromise bill. But the resistance to Mr. Biden's pledge to make equity the business of the whole of government is an early warning sign of more to come. And I think, frankly, it's all outrageous that an administration of the executive branch of the United States should be so blatantly violating the Constitution of the United States. This is, in my opinion, clear grounds for impeachment. If we had a Congress that were not controlled by a group that is partisan, biased, grossly demented, living in another world, completely outrageous. Meanwhile, having been frustrated in her effort to create a January 6th congressional investigation, Nancy Pelosi is moving forward with a House committee investigation and has now announced she'll appoint Liz Cheney, a Republican from Wyoming, to serve on the select committee. Now, Liz Cheney, of course, is a daughter of Dick Cheney, whom my research supports as having been the executive director of carrying out 9/11 from a bunker beneath the White House. Indeed, Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld appear to have been the key players here in the United States, while Ehud Olmert and Bibi Netanyahu appear to have been the masterminds who came up with the idea in the first place, where I strongly suspect that Philip Zelikow, now a professor of history at the University of Virginia, actually wrote the script, where Zelikow had his area of specialization in the academy before entering government service, the creation and maintenance of public myths, M-Y-T-H-S. And that is 100% what he gave us on 9/11, where it turns out that he had even completed a draft of the 9/11 Commission report a year before it shared it with members of the staff, which is, in my judgment, further confirmation of the points I'm making. And where on America Media Periscope, this last Friday, the Wednesday before, and the preceding Friday, with Scott Bennett on his new program there, Great Awakenings, featured me for 1 hour to talk about the 9/11, what actually happened, focusing on the faking of all four of the 9/11 crash sites, how the World Trade Center was destroyed, and who was responsible and why. These are all going to be archived, not only on America Media Periscope, where I encourage you to check them out, but also on my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer. We're in the process of doing that now, where the third event involved also Joe Olson, the engineer, who's going to be joining us for the second hour, but also Mike Harris, who's a very astute political analyst, to further round out and tie together loose ends. So if you want a most recent discussion of 9/11, there it is. The committee will consist of 8 lawmakers appointed by the speaker, 5 nominated by Kevin McCarthy in consultation with Pelosi. Pelosi said Bernie Thompson of Mississippi will serve as chair, where Thompson was a Democratic architect of the deal struck with Representative John Katko of New York to form the bipartisan investigation that died in the U.S. Senate. Other Democrat Pelosi is tapping include Zoe Lofgren of California, Adam Schiff of California, Peter Aguilar of California, Stephanie Murphy of California, Jamie Raskin of Maryland, and Elaine Loria of Virginia. Meanwhile, here's a brilliant satire that I think it has a devastating significance for the Biden agenda. This is a story of Norm Hiccup, who is a motorcyclist who now identifies as a bicyclist. Check it out. You just can't beat the person who never gives up, said Babe Ruth. My motorcycle is a bicycle now, and I should be allowed to use it in bicycle races, Norm Hiccup.
So I just talk in this thing and it records my voice?
Yeah, it's a microphone.
Okay. Hello, my name is Norm Hiccup. I am a bicyclist, and this is my story.
Switching gears, the Norm Hiccup story.
Everyone knew the name Norm Hiccup in the motorcycle world. Back then, when you thought about motorcycles, you'd think Harley Davidson, you'd think two wheels, and you'd think Norm Hiccup.
Oh yeah, of course I knew Norm. You know, if there was a race, Norm was there racing. Racing and racing and racing and losing. That guy lost a lot.
Hey, guys, it's not a race, slow down!
It was a race, and he knew that.
Grease, guys. But you shouldn't go that fast. You need to slow down.
Why are you like huffing and puffing, bro?
I don't know.
I honestly don't even know why he competed. I think he just owned a motorcycle.
He was the Michael Jordan of losing. And then the craziest thing happened.
So it was shortly after losing your, what was it, 65th motorcycle race that it happened?
Well, it's completely unrelated to losing my 65th motorcycle race.
But it happened directly after a loss, right?
Unrelated things happen after other unrelated things all the time. That's a common expression.
Why don't you just tell us what happened?
I had always known that something about me was different. There was something wrong. It was as if I had something inside of me as a motorcyclist that I needed to let out. After a lot of thought and reflection, and in no way related to the number of motorcycle races I lost, I finally realized that my life as a motorcyclist was a lie. I was a bicyclist.
A man by the name of Norm Hiccup has made
history. This is the theme of our podcast. Today we're talking about Norm Hiccup.
Tractor driving dentist. I feel Norm really represents the train people.
We love Norm.
Joining the race is Norm Hiccup.
Wait, I thought he raced motorcycles.
I never felt better. Free to be my true self. Live my truth. Just be me.
And win races.
Completely unrelated. But now that you mention it, the craziest thing happened. I started winning races. Can you believe it? Things were looking up. I was finally me, the real me. And separately, coincidentally, happening at the exact same time, I'm a gold medal athlete.
I've never seen a bicyclist like Norm. Tremendous focus, deeply motivated. And his bike had a 200 horsepower engine that could go from 0 to 60 in 3 seconds.
I remember I interviewed Norm around this time. He's a megastar, not only winning trophies left and right, but also a huge inspiration to the trans vehicle community. And I said, Norm, when did you know you were actually a bicyclist? And you know what he said? He said, I was looking at a bicycle. And I thought, my motorcycle's faster than that. That's when I knew who I was.
But the thought and the realization just happened to be at the same time. A total coincidence.
Any of the bicyclists opposed Norm's decision? Was anyone not happy about it?
Not if they wanted to keep their livelihood and reputation. Not after Sam.
I'm Sam. I was the greatest bicyclist in the world. No one faster than me. Until Norm. And then all I said was, hey, this guy's a motorcycle. And the next thing I know, Teen Vogue magazine runs over my racing bike with a steamroller and kidnaps my children. I still don't know where they are.
Some people were intolerant. It's true. People have called me a hero. They said I'm inspiring. Kids look up to me. Adults lavish me with praise. But when I look in the mirror and I see that person staring back at me, the real me, all I see is all those things that I just said. I agree with it.
Switching gears, the Norm Hiccup story. Eddie was crushed by a falling speaker at an Iron Maiden concert. Jensen Beal won a Pulitzer, stole a Pulitzer from the William Faulkner estate. Meek was last seen hunting the murderer of his parents as a mass vigilante. Sam hopes to find financial stability by starting a chain of Nashville hot pigeon restaurants. And of course, Norm went on to shatter every cycling record in the world. His bicycle still goes very, very fast. I mean, how bad is that? And I think it captures exactly what the Democrats are doing with their trans agenda. It's completely absurd. Anyone who buys into this really needs to have their head examined. I can't think of anything more outrageous than now allowing men to participate in women's sports. The whole point of creating a separate category is because men are physiologically superior to women in athletic activities in terms of body mass, energy, stamina. This is why having men in combat makes sense. Women does not. I mean, administrative roles, support roles, yes. Other roles, combat roles, I think it's absurd. As a former Marine Corps officer myself, given the Marine Corps is a branch of the Navy, and the Marines are transported on naval ships, I spent a fair amount of time aboard ships, and I'll tell you, having a few women aboard a ship with a whole lot of men is a really terrific recipe for distraction, lack of focus, failure to get to their duty stations. I mean, I'm telling you, the absurdities here are simply overwhelming. And the idea of letting, you know, a man who identifies as a woman to participate in track and field or weightlifting or shot put or whatever, allowing men into women's lockers. I mean, look, if you got friends who buy into this, you really ought to think about what the hell is going on here, because this is destructive of America. It destroys the morale of our young women and girls. It's just completely outrageous, despicable. The Democrats are living the life of lunatics. We've heard the phrase, the lunatics are in charge of the asylum. Well, with a Biden-Harris administration, it's literally true. The United States has been turned into an asylum, and the lunatics are in charge. Meanwhile, Bobby Jr. warns, don't take a COVID-19 vaccine under any circumstances. His message, don't do it. The nephew of former President JFK recently issued a public statement urging everyone everywhere to avoid the jab at all costs because it contains an untested new technology known as mRNA, the long-term side effects of which are completely unknown. Well, not really completely. They're showing up massively. I've reported, you know, there are like 20 different categories of side effects that are showing up, not the least significant of which, of course, is death, where because the testing system only reports 1%, and we're getting something like 15,000 deaths. If you add a couple of zeros there, we're getting up into the millions. I'm very, very troubled what's happening here. The article continues, mRNA directly alters the genetic material of those who receive it, much like what happens when scientists genetically engineer GMO food crops, like soybeans or corn, to make them resistant to bugs or drought. This intervention can be compared to genetically modified foods, which are also very controversial, Bobby Jr. observes. Unlike all other vaccines, the genetic damage of which is not necessarily permanent. mRNA, genetic damage is irreversible and irreparable. As opposed to older vaccines, many of which can be detoxified following injection, mRNA COVID vaccines live in perpetuity inside the body. The damage they cause, in other words, is forever. You will have to live with the consequences because you will no longer be able to be cured simply by removing toxins from the human body. Bobby Jr. explains, comparing the genetic damage to the type that caused Down syndrome or cystic fibrosis. mRNA is like a continuous vaccine engine that repeatedly vaccinates a person for the rest of his or her life. This clearly means if a vaccination symptoms develops after an mRNA vaccination, neither I nor any other therapist will be able to help you, as the damage will be genetically irreversible. As an experienced physician, Dr. Wolfgang Woodgard has observed, this promising vaccine, as it's told, as it's touted by the Biden administration, for the vast majority of people should be banned because it's genetic engineering. In other words, getting vaccinated for COVID means a person will become a kind of GMO zombie with no opportunity to revert to his old self. Sounds a lot like the Mark of the Beast from the Book of Revelation, would you not agree? In the past, Bobby Jr., considered by many to be the best Kennedy, has warned that traditional vaccines are already bad enough, causing serious brain damage that for many is irreversible. The Wuhan vaccines are far worse. Nobody under any circumstances should take them. This is really stunning stuff, and I completely agree that it should not be allowed to happen, but it's going on apace at a rapid rate. Even though Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, for example, has observed that these mRNA vaccines are, as she puts it, perfectly designed killing machines. Perfectly designed killing machines. You may not be able to inhibit others from following the path they're recommending, but if you can, by all means, do it. We'll be back after the break with Joe Olson, who's going to give us an update on the Florida condo situation. Remember, number 540-352-4452. I'll repeat after Joe's here with us.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood.
Hold on, Judge.
The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
That the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance
and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons, and the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, as advertised, I have Joel Olson standing by, whom I regard as eminently qualified to analyze what happened here. Before I have Joe speak, I want to play for those who see the video version, however, a report here of how the rest of the condo was taken down, and then we'll bring in Joe. Here it comes.
Just a short time ago, crews demolished the remaining portion of the condo that collapsed over a week ago. All right, so take a look at this. A live look at Surfside, Florida, where explosives brought the building down. This happened just about half an hour ago. Engineers will now have to make sure that area is safe before first responders can go back and continue their work. And take a look at this. There we go. This is the moments that building just came crashing down. Now, we're also learning at this point that officials wanted to make sure that this was done out of fears of Tropical Storm Elsa, that it could crash down onto the debris field. Well, rescue teams can now get to parts of the rubble that were previously off limits for safety purposes. At this point, they are still searching for survivors.
Joe, that very much looks to me like a cover story. What's so striking about it is the similarity between the demolition of this part of the building, which of course was a controlled demolition, and the collapse of the original. I mean, they looked so much alike. And of course, when you look at Building 7 from 9/11, that was another classic controlled demolition, where all of those are completely unlike what happened to the North and the South Tower, because all the floors are coming down at the same time with the condo, with the original collapse, and with Building 7, whereas with the North and the South Tower, they're blowing apart in every direction from the top down. All the floors remain stationary. They're being converted into millions of cubic yards of very fine dust. And there's no pile of residue, no stack of floors when it's over with the North and the South Tower. But we have massive piles of debris otherwise. Joe. give us your thoughts. Joe, what happened here? What happened here? Don't hear Joe. No, we don't. We need Joe. Can you hear me, Mitchell? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I have you, Jim. I'm pulling him back in. He had dropped, he had called, and then he got booted or dropped, and I'm trying to call him back.
Okay, please do. Please do.
1-3-5-1-7-3-1.
Join. Joe, are you here, my friend?
That was the answering machine, Jim.
Wow. Wow. So, can we get him back? I know he was standing by to do it. You had him there for a while, right?
Yeah, we had him for a minute. Give me a minute and I'll try him back.
Please, please do. Joe, as I mentioned before, is qualified as not only a structural engineer, a civil engineer, but a mechanical engineer, electrical engineer.
8-1-3-5-1-7-3-1-9.
I'm a bit baffled. Just to go back to the images then. We have a lot going on here that bears investigation. As I explained at the opening of the show, we got the original structure. So we're going to have before and after. It was a lift slab style of construction erected in 1981 with a 40-year lifespan. Would expect that to expire, therefore, in 2021. Oddly enough, they're only doing every 40-year inspections, which is ridiculous when you consider the circumstances, the style of construction. We had the collapse starting from the bottom of the central, then the section behind, and then finally the east section collapse. The pool deck, which they thought might have caved first, turned out to be unscathed. A report of improper waterproofing seems to have had nothing to do with it. Meanwhile, cracking of concrete columns, beams, and walls in the parking garage may or may not have made a difference. Have we got Joe? Joe?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Okay, please go for it, Joe. I was explaining the striking similarity between the collapse of the original parts of the building, this new now demolition to complete it, and Building 7 on 9/11, all of which look very much alike, versus the North and the South Tower, which were destroyed by a completely different method. Instead of all the floors coming down at the same time at approximately the speed of free fall, leaving behind a debris pile equal to about 12% of the height of their originals. With the North and the South Tower, we have the buildings blowing apart in every direction from the top down. All the floors remain stationary. They're being converted into millions of cubic yards of very fine dust. And when it's over, there's no stack of debris in their footprints, which ought to have equaled 13.5, roughly, had it been they also been done the same way. Give us your results, Joe. What do you now believe happened here with a Florida condo? Joe. It's very difficult for me to resist the inference that there are parties who do not want you to hear Joe Olson's sophisticated analysis. Once again, there's a swimming pool. It's perfectly intact. Here we have the remainder of the condo brought down by demolition 11 days after the partial collapse. I'll play a longer version of this video now in the hope that Joe rejoined us and we'll take him as soon as he comes.
The crews demolished the remaining portion of the condo that collapsed over a week ago. All right, so take a look at this. A live look at Surfside, Florida, where explosives brought the building down. This happened just about half an hour ago. Engineers will now have to make sure that area is safe before first responders can go back and continue their work. And take a look at this. There we go. This is the moments that building just came crashing down. Now, we're also learning at this point that officials wanted to make sure that this was done out of fears of Tropical Storm Elsa, that it could crash down onto the debris field. Well, rescue teams can now get to parts of the rubble that were previously off limits for safety purposes. At this point, they are still searching for survivors.
Nobody should be talking about recovery. That, as far as I'm concerned, that needs to be shut down straight away. We're rescuing people. We're pulling people out. Everybody's doing that. We're all pulling in the same direction, and that's the way it's going to be.
So far, rescuers have recovered the remains of 24 people. 120 more are still missing. Just a short time ago.
Let me just say how disturbing it is to have an Israeli firm coming. We got Joe back now. Do we have him? Joe, Joe, are you there?
Yes, yes. I can't explain what's happening. We're having a whiteout rain condition, and I was parked under a carport at a drive-thru where the bank's closed, and my signal just kept cutting off. So I don't know if they're started.
Well, Joe, I'm thrilled to have you here. Go for it. Go for it. Give us your latest dissection of what happened here in Florida. Wow. Gone again. Gone again. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Mitchell, were you able to bring him back, or did he call back? Which way did it go?
I had called him back. He's shown that he's still on, but we can't hear him.
Oh, we can't hear him? How damn strange. How damn strange is that?
He dropped now. I'll call him back in a sec.
Okay, give it another. Let me just explain why, you know, I'm so suspicious about this Israeli team showing up here. They may have been responsible for the original demolition of the condo, and who better, therefore, to bring back to cover it up? This is just like, if I'm correct in my diagnosis, Philip Zelikow, having been the author of the script for 9/11, and then being brought back as the executive director of the 9/11 Commission. Joe, are you there? Are you there? Are you there?
Yes, 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 but I don't know for how long. The phone is really acting weird.
Yeah, I agree. Just go for it, Joe. Say as much as you can.
Okay. First of all, the event happened 11 days ago. According to the Miami Herald, they did not allow any of the people in the remaining section of the building to go enter the building for any reason, which meant they couldn't do any discovery about partial damage inside the building, and they also couldn't remove any of their personal artifacts from their occupied spaces, which is absolutely outrageous. 11 days ago means that there are no survivors. As Hillary says, at this point, what difference does it make? If you go to 911research.fandom.com, you've got an analysis of this expert that was hired by the city of Surfside, and he previously had worked on the Oklahoma City bombing, the 1993 World Trade Center bombing, and the Pentagon bombing. So, appears to me, you can make your own conclusions, because as an engineer, I'm not allowed to make ethical statements about other engineers. So you draw your own research and make your own conclusions about what's possibly happening in this case.
You're telling me, Joe, that it's a part of the professional ethics, the code of conduct of engineers, are not allowed to criticize the work of other engineers?
You have to notify them, and you have to notify the state that you're going to be criticizing their work. And then if you're going to be testifying against them, you have to post a bond that says that you'll be responsible for any negative state. It's ridiculous. When I was stuck in divorce court, there was a big issue about lawyers never being disbarred. And engineers have dozens of disciplinary actions every year and a dozen licenses revoked. Bar revokes a bar license for an attorney.
Joe, we lost you again. I presume if this guy was involved in Oklahoma City, which appears to have occurred in two stages, we had the fertilizer bomb in a truck associated with Timothy McVeigh that was parked. Oh, I don't know. 10 yards or so away from the building. When it blew up, it could not possibly have done the kind of monumental damage to the Mura building that actually occurred. And indeed, we have two seismic signatures. There's a relatively modest for the fertilizer bomb, and then far more massive. I mean, that was a huge building, and it destroyed the whole front facade when the first responders showed up, by the way. They were carrying out boxes and boxes of files. They weren't trying to save anyone. They were carrying out files. The whole demo appears to have been because the file records for Bill Clinton's MENA, Arkansas activities as governor were located there, and Hillary and Bill wanted to make sure they never got into the public domain. Joe, continue. Pick it up.
Yes, everybody needs to go to jamesfetzer.org and read Competitive Victimhood by Brenton Sanderson on how a certain little tribe has convinced everybody that they're the worst victims in the world, and that even though they're have the most supreme power, that they should be given even more and more rights over everybody else. Absolutely absurd. So you can draw your own conclusions on both of those. Yes.
Now, Joe, I'm asserting here that you have concluded that the demolition of the original collapse of the condo and now this subsequent demolition are very like what happened to Building 7. In other words, that you have concluded this was all done by controlled demolition. Is that correct?
Well, I don't think it was explosive demolition. I'm right now studying stray currents and scalar weapons, which appears to be what happened, because I don't see evidence. There's no upward blast evidence. But there again, I'm dealing with limited amount of evidence because they're not posting a whole lot of photos online. And you have no access to the site. So it's like, you know, I can't make an informed judgment. All I can do is speculate. And the speculation is that it was not, it would be a hard building to wire with 130 occupied spaces. So that kind of discounts that. And then the videos of the actual collapse show the plumes of dust coming up from the collapse, but they don't seem to indicate an upward blast, which you would typically have in an explosion. So I'm kind of discounting the conventional explosives, but you can compare it with the one that they just did overnight. There again, they did it at 3 o'clock in the morning, so nobody would be able to get accurate information. And to blame this on Elsa, that's turned into a tropical storm and moved further out off the west coast of Florida, is absurd.
Would you say this was a design that was inherently unstable, and that it might have been given a nudge to bring it down? In other words, that this did not simply happen as a matter of wearing out its life expectancy? Further thoughts? Joe, we've lost him again, obviously. We've lost him again. So I presume we're going to get another connection, but it'll be for a similar limited period of time. Let me mention, when we're done here with Joe, I am going to open up the lines so that if anyone wants to call in and discuss any of these matters, the number is 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. Hopefully we'll get Joe back. And absent callers, I'll cover a few additional stories. Joe, go, Joe, go.
Yes. Man, my phone is really acting weird. Okay. Yeah, you can look in the guy's record. And, you know, if you've been involved in three questionable false flag events, then probably you're the go-to guy for this. And so I'm not going to make any statements because he's going to take 6 months to come out with his conclusions. And by then, there'll be another front page burner that everybody's turned to. So bottom line is I don't trust anything they're doing in the way of a report. And the information that I got this morning on the tower being collapsed and the people not being allowed to remove anything from the space just makes it even more questionable. I think we'll be able to go into this in more depth this afternoon at 4 o'clock when you and Carl and I have a Skype interview on this. This is, you sent me a notice this morning about 11 o'clock, and I'm on a job deadline, so I have just a limited amount of time to be able to prepare
Joe,
for this.
Joe, yes, then, yes. Yes. Joe, and of course, it's horrific to have individuals who are out of their condo with all their precious possession and told they cannot go back to save any of it from a then-controlled demolition. I mean, what a horrible situation to be in. Am I right, Joe, just to get your bottom line, that it looks as though this was a poorly designed building and it was given a little nudge to bring it down?
Well, there again, we mentioned that it had withstood Hurricane Andrew in 1991, and that's approximate. I can't find my notes right this minute, but it was in that period of time. And that was a Category 5 hurricane that hit. The eye went over Homestead, Florida, which is 30 miles from this site, and the eye wall had 175-mile-an-hour winds. So it's pretty safe to say this building had withstood 160-mile-an-hour winds at least once. And then Southern Florida experiences three tropical storms or hurricanes every year on average. So it's been there for 40 years through three events so per year. So 120 events, and then all of a sudden it collapses when there isn't an event. So there's no external forces on the building that would have caused the collapse, and it has a sudden downward fall with no internal reason.
Joe, we lost you again. You're doing great. You're doing great. Well, the program to which Joe is alluding is the Need to Know show I'm doing on a daily basis, 5 days a week, with different commentators. And they are being published at my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer. So you'll be able to get Joe's further, greater detailed analysis from today, which will be up this evening, I have no doubt. And then where I republish them, the Need to Know and other stories on Telegram, Jim Fetzer News, that's t.me/JimFetzerNews. T.me/ mean the way you get to any Telegram address. I also have a t.me/NeedToKnow channel there too. And I do my best to get them all up there, but for sure they're all on BitChute at the BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer. And they've proven to be very popular. I've been doing these on it. Joe, go ahead, add, go.
Yeah, okay. Man, Ed, this is really shocking. I can't believe we're having this issue. Yeah, the guy, I just don't know what to say. I really can't talk any further about him, so we'll have to talk about other
yeah,
events.
Yeah, no. Just give me your take on what happened to the building.
Yeah, if you look at SAMPOONG, Department Store Collapse in 1995 in Seoul, South Korea, it killed 502 people. Exact same type construction that they had on this building. They moved rooftop equipment, which is what Wiki says caused the problem. They moved it over to an area of the roof that hadn't been designed for it. And then the vibration of the roof-mounted air conditioning equipment, in addition to the weight, caused that building to have a sudden, spontaneous collapse. And so I'm thinking that's very similar, but in this case, I don't know of any redistributed roof loads that could have contributed to this. So my guess is that they found some way of weakening the rebar inside the structure. Now, another thing, I sent you a Daily Mail article that showed cascading water coming in as the entrance into the drive-through. And that drive-through would have had the same elevation. And in Europe, they call it ground floor, and then the first floor is a floor above that. We typically call first floor ground floor. But regardless, the water in the pool was at the same level as the first floor, which would be the entrance height to the parking garage. So you couldn't have pool water flowing at high rate of speed out of that front car entry to the parking garage, which is at grade level with the street. So that could only come from water that was up inside the 12-story tower. Likely the fire system was being opened and drained so it couldn't respond to any fire.
Oh, Joe, that's a doozy. This is what happened with the Twin Towers. There was a prior explosion that was supposed to coincide with the planes making contact with a building that they were going to explain away as having been jet fuel falling through the elevator shafts. But there were only a couple where that was even possible because they were offset. Every 30 floors, you have to change elevators, get off, and so forth, coming down these huge buildings, which was designed to drain the sprinkler systems of water. It turns out that Greg Furlong, two experts on 9/11, discovered that there were discrepancies, that the explosions actually went off prematurely in relation to the alleged plane impact by 14 and 17 seconds, respectively. Hand-eye coordination problem. Publishing a piece, seismic proof 9/11 was an inside job. They got it exactly right. It was a conversation I had with Willie Rodriguez, who was a senior custodian in the North Tower, telling me how he watched the water fill up the lower basement, that I realized the whole objective had been to drain the water sprinkler system so it couldn't, the sprinkler system of water, so it couldn't extinguish the very modest fires that remained after those spectacular fireballs were consumed in the first 10 or 15 seconds. Joe, you put your finger on something very important if they were draining the sprinkler system.
Yes, that's true. So, I can't explain why that. I'm going to have to spend a lot more time thinking about this and then sorting through whatever we can find in the way of information on it. But, yes, I'm not trusting anything they're going to produce in the way of an official report. And I can't explain why my phone keeps logging off. I have to re-enter my password. It completely shuts off. So it's not even working as a phone and just missing a call. I'm in a situation now where I've got five bars on my Verizon network. But we're in a whiteout rain condition. So.
Joe, thank you. Thank you for joining us. We're hit with a break. I'll talk to you on Need to Know this afternoon, my friend, and we'll get it up for more about this.
Yes,
with
sir.
Open. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Joe.
Thank you.
Talk to you.
At Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio. Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it?
that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, that was certainly a mixed bag with Joe. I don't know how to account for the difficulty other than, you know, some weird things going on in Florida, which when it's surrounding a fake event, a staged event, an orchestrated event, becomes very common. But if it's a real event, highly uncommon. Couple more stories to add, and I've asked Mitchell to let me know if any of you call in. The number 540-352-4452, if any of you call in. A couple more stories. Here's one. The mortality rate from the Delta variant is about 8 times higher in people who have been fully vaccinated. According to the latest statistics, people who got the COVID vaccine are up to 8 times more likely to test positive or have to be hospitalized. Hospitalization rates and absolute mortality related to the Delta variant are significantly higher among the vaccinated than among the unvaccinated. People who are fully vaccinated, meaning they've received both doses of an mRNA injection, had a nearly 8 times higher mortality rate among those who tested positive for the Delta variant. The evidence in England now clearly shows persons who've been injected are to blame for the spread of Delta. And the more people who receive the vaccine, the more Delta spreads. The Delta variant infection rate of people who received at least one dose of the vaccine is lower than that of fully vaccinated 2 doses, while higher than those of unvaccinated. This is in line with recent data from Public Health England, which found those who have been vaccinated are 600% more likely to die from Delta than those who have not been. You know, let me just point out, in the past, you have relatively minor physical harms from vaccines and they're pulled off the market. They're taken off completely, 100%. And here you have massive numbers of death, not to mention other forms of harm. And they're doing nothing about it? Here's a very serious matter, by the way. A question of whether a sinister agenda lies behind the California water crisis, where there's no doubt about it. Bear in mind now, it appears that in order to fulfill the Deagle.com projection of taking the United States from 330 million in 2020, only 65 million in 2025. I mean, subtract 65 from 330, and you see the vast number who are going to die, according to this projection, over 200 million. Roughly 265 million, frankly. Unbelievable. Dead within 5 years. There appears to be a three-stage methodology involved here. One is the use of face masks to kill us slowly. Now, Fauci, Tony the Rat, the greatest mass murderer in history, as he will be known in the future, or a great hero to the global elite because he did their bidding, by dramatically reducing the world's population or doing his best to bring about that result, discovered in their studies of the swine flu that most of the deaths occurred not from the flu, but from bacterial pneumonia, which is promoted by the wearing of face masks, so that my dear friend, who's appeared many times on this show, Rolf Lindgren, is right now hospitalized. Why? Because of a pneumonia infection. And I spoke to him yesterday. I said, Rolf, I said, were you wearing masks? And he said, well, not lately, but he had quite a bit in the past. I have no doubt that Rolf's hospitalization is caused by a bacterial pneumonia infection resulting from wearing masks. I don't want to lose the guy, but I'm telling you, this is a very bad situation. Most of the deaths from the Spanish flu were from these pneumonia infections promoted by wearing masks. I have 6, 8, or 10 articles on my blog at jamesfetcher.org about why wearing masks is bad for you. It should be obvious on its face because you're recirculating oxygen-depleted air, which means that your brain is receiving less oxygen, and that leads to the death of brain cells, which is irreversible, as Bobby Kennedy was emphasizing. It also deprives your heart of needed oxygen and can induce, you know, heart problems. They're also talking about inflammation of the heart being another side effect, where any of these side effects would have in the past been sufficient to pull these vaccines off the market. So you know something is terribly, terribly wrong when that's not happening in spite of massive aversive effects. So the first wave is killing us slowly with a mask. Then the vaccine, which Sherry Tenpenny has described as a perfectly designed killing machine, is going to kill a whole lot of people a whole lot faster. And then for the coup de grace, they're messing with our food system. A good friend of mine, I discussed this, you know, 6 months, 10 months ago, and I asked him, I said, how is this going to happen? I mean, I see the mass, the role of the mass and the role of vaccines, but that doesn't seem to get up to the numbers. And he told me starvation, mass starvation. Now, against that background, listen to what I'm reporting here. The ingredients are many, but central is a severe drought in key growing states of the Dakotas and Southwest, including agriculture-intensive California. So far, Washington has done disturbingly little to address the crisis, and California Water Board officials have been making the crisis far worse by draining the state water reservoirs into the ocean. Now, Biden and Harris aren't going to do anything about it because they're promoting it. They're part of it. That's why they were brought into office. That's why the election was stolen, to diminish, to devastate the American population and take it from 330 million in 2020 to only 65 in 2025. So far, the worst hit farm state is North Dakota, which grows most of the nation's red spring wheat. In the upper Midwest, the northern plain states and the prairie provinces of Canada winter brought far too little snow following a 2020 exceedingly dry summer. The result is drought from Manitoba to the northern plain states. This hits farmers in the region just 4 years after a flash drought in 2017 arrived without early warning and devastated the U.S. northern Great Plains region, comprising Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota, and the adjacent Canadian prairies. There's much more going on here, where 77% of the state of North Dakota is in an extreme drought category. It's measured in terms of D1 abnormally dry, D3 severe drought, D4 exceptional drought, where farm states Iowa and Illinois are suffering abnormally dry conditions, and 64% for Iowa, 27% for Illinois. The severe dry conditions are not limited to those states alone, however, but extend into New Mexico, Colorado, Arizona, Nevada, and deep into California. In Texas, 20% of the state's in severe drought, 12% extreme, 6% is experiencing exceptional drought, the worst. New Mexico is undergoing 96% severe and 47% exceptional. New Mexico. The situation in California is by far the most serious in its potential impact on the support of agricultural products to the nation. There, irrigation and a sophisticated water storage system, which was supposed to deal with issues like this, provide water for irrigation and urban use to the state for their periodic dry seasons. Here, a far larger catastrophe is in the making. A cyclical drought season combining with literally criminal state environmental politics to devastate agriculture in the state's most important farm-producing state is taking place, part of a radical green agenda being advocated by Governor Gavin Newsom and fellow Democrats to dismantle traditional agriculture, as insane as that may sound. Few outside of California realize a state known for Silicon Valley and beautiful beaches is such a vital source of agricultural production. California's sector is the most important in the United States, leading the nation's production in over 77 different products, including dairy and a number of fruit and vegetable specialty crops. The state is the only producer of almonds, artichokes, persimmons, raisins, and walnuts. California grows a third of the country's vegetables, two-thirds of its fruits and nuts. It's got an overwhelming majority of fruits and nuts, by the way, in its population alone. It leads all other states in farm income with 77,500 farms and ranches. Second in production of livestock behind Texas. And the dairy industry is California's leading commodity in cash receipts. 43 million acres of the state's 100 million acres is devoted to agriculture. What happens here, in other words, is vital to the nation's food supply. The water crisis in California is by far the most serious in terms of consequences for the food supply in a period when the U.S. faces major supply chain disruptions owing to absurd corona lockdowns, combined with highly suspicious hacks of key infrastructures. On May 31st, for example, the infrastructure of the world's largest meat processor, JBS SA, was hacked, forcing the shutdown of all its beef plants, supplying almost 25% of American beef. The Green Lobby asserts, while presenting no evidence, global warming, increased CO2 emission is causing the drought. But there's no reason to believe it, and many not. I mean, CO2 is a natural exhalation of oxygen-depleted air into the atmosphere, which trees and plants convert into oxygen. It's part of the life cycle of our ecology and our environment. The green narrative is simply absurd. Since 2011, California underwent a seven-year drought, which ended in 2019, where major rains filled the California reservoir system to capacity. In June of 2019, Shasta Dam, holding the state's largest reservoir, was full to 98% capacity. Just 2 years later, however, in May of 2021, Shasta Reservoir held a mere 42% of capacity, down almost 60%. Similarly, in June of 2019, Oroville Dam Reservoir, the second largest, held water at 98% of capacity, but by May of 2021 was down just 37%. What other smaller reservoirs saw similar drops? Where is the water gone? Allegedly to save these fish varieties, a rare type of salmon and a delta smelt, a tiny minnow-sized fish about 2 inches in size. This is simply absurd. What's going on here? In this past January, Felicia Marcus, the chair of the California State Water Resources Control Board, who oversaw the controversial water policies since 2018, this is unloading the water supply, draining it into the Pacific Ocean to save these fish, left at the end of her term to become an attorney for the Natural Resources Defense Council, one of the most powerful green NGOs. Appointed by Green Governor Jerry Brown as chair of the State Water Board in 2018, Marcus is directly responsible for draining the reservoirs into the ocean after they filled in 2019, using the claim of protecting endangered species. In March of 2021, with Marcus as attorney, the NRDC requested the State Water Resources Control Board, Marcus headed until recently, take immediate action to address perceived threats to the salmon in the Sacramento River watershed from the Central Valley Project. This, as the state is facing a new drought emergency. In 2021, Governor Newsom, a protege of Jerry Brown, signed Senate Bill 1, the California Environmental, Public Health, and Workers' Defense Act, which would send billions of gallons into the Pacific Ocean, ostensibly to save more fish. It was a cover for manufacturing the present water crisis and specifically attacking farming, as incredible as it may seem. The true agenda of the Newsom and previous Brown administrations is to radically undermine the highly productive California agriculture sector. Governor Newsom has now introduced an impressive-sounding $5.1 billion drought relief bill. Despite its title, however, nothing will go to improve the state reservoir water availability for cities and farms. $500 million will be sent on incentives for farmers to repurpose their land, that is, to stop farming. Suggestions include wildlife habitat recreation or solar panels. Another $230 million will be used for wildlife corridors and fish passage projects to improve the ability of wildlife to migrate safely. Fish passage projects is a clever phrase for dam removal, destroying the nation's most effective network of reservoirs. When I was a kid growing up in California, we learned that this was one of the most fantastic engineering projects the world has ever seen. The world has ever seen. This systematic dismantling of one of the world's most productive agriculture regions, using the seductive mantra of environmental protection, fits into the larger agenda of the Davos Great Reset and plans to radically transform world agriculture into what the UN Agenda 2030 calls sustainable agriculture. No more meat protein. The green argument is that cows are a major source of methane gas emissions via burps and farts. This is about as absurd as it gets. How that affects global climate, no one has seriously proven. Instead, we're supposed to eat laboratory-made fake meat, like the genetically manipulated Impossible Burger of Bill Gates and Google, or even worms. Yes, in January, the European Food Safety Agency approved mealworms are the larvae of the darkling beetle as the first novel food cleared for sale across the United States. I mean, this is disgusting beyond belief. It makes you sick. Meanwhile, Donald Rumsfeld, the controversial architect of the Iraq War, has died at 88 years of age. Rumsfeld was both the youngest and the oldest person to serve as the Secretary of Defense. You may recall Rumsfeld, the day before 9/11, on 9/10, announced that the Pentagon was missing $2.3 trillion from its budget. Now, it turns out that the controller, the chief financial officer at the time, Dove Zakheim, was not only a dual U.S.-Israeli citizen, but a rabbi. You can imagine now where that $2.3 trillion actually went. He also had a company with remote-controlled airplane devices so that you could regain control over an aircraft had it been hijacked. I am convinced that the original plan for 9/11 was to use Zakheim's remote control devices to fly a couple of drones into the North and the South Tower. When they discovered, however, that it was physically impossible for the planes to enter the buildings, they reverted to an alternative plan, which was to project images of planes that could be then flown right into the building with no resistance whatsoever, as I've explained at great length in a series of programs I've now done with Scott Bennett. Let me mention here in passing, I have a 4th of July blog with Bill Benny and Catherine Horton, which is preceded by the featured image, 1% control the world, 4% are their puppets, 90% are asleep, 5% know and try to wake the 90%. The 1% use the 4% to prevent the 5% from waking up the 90%. That's exactly where we are today. 4th of July special with Bill Benny and Dr. Catherine Horton, How to Spot a False Flag. Editor's note, in appreciation for everyone who follows this blog, I have long admired Bill Benny beyond words, and I adore Dr. Catherine Horton, who has led the legal fight against the use of high-tech devices to torment targeted individuals. How glorious that they have wed. Catherine and I did a 4-part series together on how to spot a false flag, which I am including here. And as a bonus for fans who follow my research, I'm adding my tribute to the Beatles from a decade or more ago, which I recently rediscovered. Always remember, eternal vigilance is indeed the price of liberty. Now, beginning on June 25th, I began a 3-part series with Scott Bennett, who's a former Army Intel and PsyOps officer, on his show, Great Awakenings. It was episode 4, exposing the real story behind the 9/11 attacks. Now, I was focusing on 3 aspects. Number 1, the faking or fabrication of the 9/11 crash sites, where all 4 of the crash sites in Shanksville, at the Pentagon, and in New York City were fabricated or faked, albeit in different ways. Now, the fact that the Pentagon was fake, when Donald Rumsfeld was there, he knew no plane had actually hit the Pentagon. It appears that following his announcement of the missing $2.3 trillion, he directed the section chief to take the members of his group, accountants, financial experts, budget analysts, into the West Wing of the Pentagon, which had recently been renovated as though to be nuclear blast resistant, which was, because of the recency of the renovation, largely bereft of personnel and property. Apart from the section chief and all of the documents and records where Rumsfeld no doubt told him, he'd been very embarrassed by having to make this announcement of the missing trillions, and they had to be diligent in discovering where it happened, setting them up for what appears to have been an unmanned aerial vehicle, a Global Hawk, to fire a missile into the West Wing to kill them. I was astonished when I read of the 125 purported casualties at the Pentagon, 36 were accountants, budget analysts, and financial experts who had no doubt been there where Rumsfeld had set them up to be killed. This was a disgusting man who, by the way, chose to bomb Iraq rather than Afghanistan because Iraq was target rich. This was a malevolent figure. We continued with part 3 on the 30th of June, the truth behind and within the 9/11 attacks, Great Awakening, episode number 5. And then just this past week, on the 2nd of July, had the 3rd installment, 9/11 Analysis and Review with Joe Olson and with Mike Harris as well, where Joe talked about, you know, the destruction of the different buildings, where the demolition of Building 7 was classic control, but of the North and the South Tower was completely different, blowing apart in every direction, which required a massive source of energy, all the floors remaining stationary, waiting their turn to be blown to kingdom come, the buildings converted into millions of cubic yards of very fine dust, requiring a massive source of energy. And let me add, therefore, that the 2nd and 3rd parts of what I was covering was not only the 4 fabricated crash sites, but also how the World Trade Center was destroyed. And then, of course, who was responsible and why. Let me just mention, by the way, as a founder of Scholars for 9/11 Truth, for those who don't understand the score, both architects and engineers and Judy Wood and her Due Group will not talk about who is responsible and why. They will not talk about it. And indeed, they insist that you have to know what happened first, which is slightly absurd, but that is their position. And then they give you a faulty, flawed accounting of how it was done that promotes their agenda to mislead the public. It's shocking, but it's true. Nanothermite, for example, can't possibly have been responsible for blowing apart the buildings. It requires a detonation velocity equal to or greater than the speed of sound in a material to destroy it. The speed of sound in concrete is 3,200 meters per second. The speed of sound in concrete, in steel, is 6,100 meters per second. But the highest attributed detonation velocity for nanothermite is only 895 meters per second. In other words, you can't get there from there. Niels Harrit, one of the proponents of the nanothermite hypothesis, was asked how much nanothermite it would take to destroy a twin tower. And he responded with a calculation, 29,000 metric tons of nanothermite. Think of the absurdity, like filling a twin tower with circus peanuts. Judy Wood, similar in her Dews hypothesis, will not accommodate the results of the U.S. Geological Survey you hear every time you hear the show, studied of dust samples from 35 locations, including elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear attack. Once again, blowing apart the cover-up reveals that it could not possibly have been done by 19 Islamic terrorists and a guy off in a cave in Afghanistan. Thank you all for watching. Or wait here. We'll be back with the event on Wednesday.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that we...